Should 24-hour drinking be banned at airports? The new aviation minister has announced that the way alcohol is sold in airports is to be examined after a number of recent incidents involving drunk passengers. But what do you think? 0-30-30-80-55-55. Commentators Adrian Piltz and Fionnuala Meredith join me. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Hello. It's a Friday, so let's keep it nice and fun today. Stephen is back on Monday, so with that on the horizon, Fionnuala, what do you think?
Well, I'm not into banning things, that's for sure. The idea of sort of banning any kind of ban on alcohol at airports doesn't make sense to me. But I really wish when passengers arrive at a plane, when they're clearly hammered, I really wish that on some occasions the staff on the plane just wouldn't let them on. I've had a couple of bad experiences where people are coming on and they're clearly smashed. They're just all over the place, and then the staff on the plane are selling them more drink, and I assume, you know, this is quite lucrative for airlines. They want to be able to sell passengers drink, and I mean, that's fair enough. We, you know, plenty of us like a couple of drinks on the plane, but when they're clearly hammered and then selling them more, it just makes the flight a misery for everybody else.
There is a bit of a culture where it's acceptable if it's 6 in the morning, 10 in the morning to go and have drinks in the airport, whereas if you were not going on holiday, you wouldn't even think of it.
Well, that's it. And people should have the right to do that if they want, God's sake. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, no, you mustn't have a drink at 6 in the morning or anything like that. It's when people are just so out of their heads when they're getting on the plane that it really disrupts everybody else. Surely there must be some action can be taken at that point.
Because, Adrian, if you bring your family, if you're going on holiday and you arrive at the airport and you're faced with a whole lot of hen-do's and stag-do's, and we're not saying that it's just the hens and the stags that like to overdo the boozing in the airports, but it is a bit off-putting and a bit intimidating if you're there with your family.
I mean, it is off-putting and it can be intimidating, but, you know, these kind of situations arise all over the place. They don't just happen in airports. You know, you can be in restaurants with your children and have a very rowdy table near you. So the problem with alcohol is not limited to just airports. So we can't treat airports as a special case. I think, you know, we live in a you know, globally connected world where people cross and travel across timelines, you know, on a regular basis. It seems very foolish to sort of limit trading in an airport. And whilst, you know, the government is saying they'll just be looking at these, they're not necessarily going to act on it. I think that, you know, going for a blanket ban, of course there will be people who would compare us to, you know, more restrictive countries that don't allow drinking anyway.
We're not necessarily saying that they should ban alcohol. It's the question of the 24-hour, because there are certain times of the day if you want to go to the pub, if you're not in the airport, then you just simply can't. But currently airport pubs, bars, restaurants can sell alcohol 24 hours a day because they're not subject to the same laws. Fionnuala, how would we go about trying to tackle this and maybe tackle the issue of some people having too much? Do we start to breathalyze them? Obviously, alcohol affects everyone very differently. It can affect the same person differently from one day to the next.
Yeah, well, as I say, I'm definitely not into banning anything, but I don't know about breathalyzing either. I think it should surely be based on the person's behaviour when they're getting actually on the plane. I think it's pretty clear if someone's so inebriated that they're just not in a fit state to be on a flight. It's just where it starts affecting other people is where it bugs me. I don't care if people want to have a drink or several drinks at any time of the day or night in the airport. Frankly, that doesn't bother me. It's when it starts impacting on other passengers that I think there's a problem. I know one of the proposals is that airport shops are to advise passengers not to drink alcohol that they've bought, you know, there during the flight. I don't think that's a great idea either, because basically then you're just treating people like kids. You're like, no, don't you be drinking that stuff here that you've bought while you're on the flight. I don't think that works. I think it's actually physically saying to people getting on the flight, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to let you on. You're not in a fit state to get on this flight.
There is a bit of a culture, Fionnuala, of drinking in airports. So you've got the duty free and obviously that there, and when you're going on holiday, there's that, you know, that high spirit that you want to enjoy yourselves and have fun. But it can be difficult, you know, just taking it back to the bare basics of actually drinking, to gauge sometimes when you've had too much, especially if you're on that holiday buzz.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, you know, if people want to have fun, that's fine. I have no bother with that. I'm just thinking of a particular flight I was on one time going from Belfast to Amsterdam. And, of course, everybody on that flight was looking for fun, so was I. And, you know, I think I had a couple of whiskies myself. It was grand. But there was a party of maybe 5 or 6 people who got on, and they were really hammered when they got on the flight. And at first, the stewards were, you know, having a good crack with them and joking and laughing and selling them more and more alcohol. And they were buying, like, 3 drinks per person. And then within 20 minutes, they wanted more drinks. They were already completely tanked up. And I think the difficulty there is then that the staff on the plane, they just couldn't control them. And they were yelling and shouting and chugging things. And it was just a misery for everybody else. So I think that's the situation you want to avoid. You don't want to be lecturing people about when and where they can drink, but you do want to be curbing really antisocial behaviour.
Adrian, do you have any sympathy when it comes to the likes of air stewards that have to deal with this kind of thing in the air?
Of course, and I think, you know, this isn't just exclusive to airports, and this is the point that, you know, rowdy, out of control customers, people get abused in the workplace, you know, all the time. Even care workers who work in care homes have to, you know, suffer under these kinds of conditions. So it's not just air stewards that get into these kind of situations. Obviously, there needs to be more training and more, you know, restraints probably for people who are being out of control. But I think the important thing to remember here is that more than 200 million people fly in the UK every year. This is a tiny, tiny little, you know, sliver of the number of people who are flying. That it's not
true,
a gigantic
but
problem.
There is an issue, though. You're in a very confined space in an airplane. Even in an airport, once you go in, once you're through security, you can't really leave. So if there is someone there that has had too much to drink, it's very difficult to get away from them. Just some of the figures that are with this story as well. There's apparently 442 people held on suspicion of being drunk at an airport or on a plane in the last 2 years. I know what you're saying, Adrian. It's a small number in comparison, but it's still quite a few. And if you're like Finola, you've been sat next to or near someone like that on a plane, it can be very upsetting.
Absolutely. But, you know, people are, you know, antisocial, whether they're drunk or not. I've been on flights with, you know, aggressive businessmen who are running late and start, you know, abusing the air stewards. I've also been on flights with people who suffer from anxiety and have taken medication to help them get through the flight and have been refused entry onto aeroplanes because they are so out of it from the medication that they've been prescribed by a doctor. But the air stewards don't believe them and think that they're drunk. And that's the danger that you can get into here. The people who have legitimate medical conditions that, you know, could be confused for being drunk and a little bit out of it, those people start being denied access onto aeroplanes as well. So it is an incredibly difficult thing. I think it comes back to the culture of, you know, maybe in the UK we do drink a little bit too much, but banning alcohol at certain times in airports is not going to do it.
But what else is there to do? What's the opposite then, or what's the alternative? If we're trying, Finola mentioned trying to gauge people by how they look, so if they appear to be very drunk or they're behaving in a certain way. But alcohol, obviously, it can take a while to affect you. So while you're going through security, you might be fine on the steps of the plane, no problem at all. And then you go up in the air where it does affect you more because of the pressure, the altitude, etc. And then all of a sudden, you are intoxicated, but what do they do apart from divert the flight? You're stuck up there. So, Finola, is there a way that they can, without trying to ban things or put really heavy restrictions, how do they try and tackle that?
I think they need to be a bit braver about it, and because it's difficult, isn't it, to say to someone, no, you're not getting on this flight because you're obviously drunk. It's hard for them to do that. Equally, it's hard for the staff on the plane to say, no, I'm not serving you any more alcohol because you clearly had enough. So I think it's the only way it's going to be sorted is that if the staff on the ground or on the flight are able to actually turn around and just, you know, to say that, to refuse that. I really don't think banning is the way to go at all. I think, but, and also I don't really buy that this thing, oh, well, it's similar in restaurants or in other places. The difference is you're flipping stuck on a flight with these people for several hours. If you're in a restaurant with rowdy people, you know, at the very worst, you can get up and leave. You can't leave a flight. That's why I think it's such an unpleasant problem.
So, but that's possibly, that's why we maybe need to tackle this culture, because I think it is seen as acceptable to an extent to go and to be a bit drunk. If it's 9 in the morning in an airport, it's okay, I'm going on holidays. I wanted to bring something else up, Adrian, and that's, we've all been on flights where you look at the menu and there are drink deals, so it's maybe buy one, get one free, or two for a certain price. So that to an extent is encouraging drinking.
Well, I mean, it's encouraging drinking insofar as the airline needs to make a profit. And unfortunately, you know, if we want to get flights to Ibiza for 20 quid, airlines do need to turn a profit. And, you know, selling alcohol is the way that they do it. I think it's dangerous to slip into, you know, a debate about when is it acceptable to sell alcohol and when it's not, because we soon start to become, you know, like a police state. But I think that that's just really horrendous. And people want to go and have fun on their holidays. And the majority of people are sensible. We have a little drink at 9 o'clock in the morning, but people do it, you know, most people do it responsibly.
The majority of us, they do drink responsibly. But why do you think that culture is there? We talked about this recently on the show when we were talking about licensing laws. But is that need in some instances to have alcohol to have fun? And we connect the two very readily, and sometimes we don't realise that maybe we're depending on that to help relax or to mingle with people. Fionnuala, is it something that just is in the culture now and we have to just try and maybe move away from that?
Well, it seems to be definitely part of the culture, but one of the things I think is that if you treat people like children and say we're going to have all these very strict licensing laws and you only can drink at certain times and, you know, all those kinds of things, then basically people may well behave like children. I think if you treat people like responsible, sentient adults,
But we don't all behave as sensible adults. That's the problem. Let's bring in some calls on this. 030 30 80 55 55. Michael, good morning.
Morning, Vinny. How are you?
I'm all right, Michael. You?
Aye.
Good.
Well, come here. Some alcohol subjects on this week, isn't there?
There is indeed. What about you? Yeah. What do you think of this? Do you go on holiday often? Are you in the airport much, Michael?
Yes, but I don't drink. I used to drink, Vinny, but I don't drink anymore on a plane, right? But my philosophy is, think about this. You'd need to be half cut to get in the aluminium tube and go up to 38,000 feet at 500 miles an hour. Do you not think so?
But what's your point? Do you think, let's stick to the topic, Michael. Should we?
This is the topic. You'd need to be half cut to get in an aluminium tube and fly at 500 miles an hour, 38,000 feet. There's nothing wrong with a wee drink.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Janet, good morning.
Good morning, Vinny.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I work for an airline myself, and the civil aviation law states that it is illegal to be drunk on an aircraft. That is the fact. I feel that some airlines are very liberal and very soft when it comes to admitting drunk passengers on board an aircraft, and then many crew gain the commission by selling more alcohol on the aircraft. And I just think it's a miracle that more incidences haven't happened yet with serious incidences of aggression on board aircraft.
What do you mind if I ask, Janet, what you do for an airline?
I work as cabin crew.
So you have been face to face with this type of thing?
I have and I haven't. My company I work for are very strict and very by the book, and we do not admit anyone who's drunk on our aircraft, so we tend not to have many cases of it. And if we do, we get the police called and they're arrested and we follow through. But a lot of airlines don't do that, and I think it's a disgrace. And I think, you know, an airport, of course, is a special case. You're not getting on a train or a bus where you can stop and get off. You're in the air. Of course, it's a special case, and alcohol shouldn't be permitted as freely as what it is.
Have you been in that position where you've had to say to someone, you're not allowed any more alcohol, or we're not going to let you on this flight?
Oh, yes, regularly, yes.
And how do you approach that? Because that in itself would seem quite an intimidating thing to do.
It is. But, you know, better off doing that before the doors are closed and you're airborne than being up in the air going, oh dear, I've made a mistake here. You know, if you've got any doubts, the captain always supports you in your decision. He trusts your judgment, and you just say, sorry, it's illegal to be drunk on an aircraft. I feel that you've had too much, and unfortunately we can't accept you at this time. So they're then sent off to sober up and get a later flight or whatever the case may be.
Could cost them an extra couple of quid as well?
Generally not. If they haven't been badly behaved, they'll just reissue another ticket for a later flight, you know.
In your experience then, Janet, when it comes to, you know, flying around the world, have we got a real culture issue with alcohol and having to have booze when we go on holiday or we get on a flight?
Absolutely. And it's getting worse. I believe it's getting worse.
Why so?
You know, I think the respect for aviation has decreased, and, you know, we are in the air. It's a different circumstance, and we should treat it respectfully and always be aware of where we are and be on guard and you know, be sensible.
So why do airlines sell alcohol in the first place? Why do they do these deals where you buy one, get one half price, etc.?
Makes money, funny.
But if there's an issue there, and if the issue, as you say, is getting worse, then is that not one obvious way to curtail it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, the first point of call for me is you don't accept someone who's drunk, end of story. And that soon sends a message out that this is not acceptable. But people have to get firm and get strong and say, look, this is not happening here. We have to protect our fellow crew and our fellow passengers. And, you know, you can't run the risk of someone going AWOL when they're 30,000 feet in the air, you know.
Janet, you must see some sights because, you know, when we get on a plane, a lot of us, we start to act differently. It's like we're in our own house. People take their shoes off. I've had people put their feet in between the seats. You know, but uh-huh. Beside me, shoes and socks off, they wander around, you know, dirty nappies left laying.
Uh-huh.
What kind of things have you seen?
Oh dear. Terrible toilet situations in the past, which have just been left for us to clear up. And so some people don't cope well in that enclosed space, you know, and then they obviously drink or whatever, self-medicate to sort of cope with the feeling of being trapped. But generally speaking, not bad at all, you know. We're just... same old thing, you treat people how they treat you and you act respectfully, they hopefully will act respectfully too. But the alcohol thing, it's just, it's illegal to be drunk on an aircraft, and that's the bottom line, you know.
Do you enjoy your job, Janet? Because it does seem like quite a difficult job.
It is, but people make it great, and whenever you're offering a good professional service where the passengers know they're going to be safe on our aircraft, they're not going to be heckled by groups of drunk people. It makes you feel proud to work work for your company.
Heckled by groups of drunk people?
Yes.
Does that happen a lot?
It does, of course. Groups of football supporters or rivaling football supporters, it does happen, yeah.
Any indecent proposals?
Oh no, unfortunately not.
If Stephen was here, he'd be talking about the Mile High Club, but we'll not talk about that.
Trust me, Benny, don't want to do that in my toilet. No, not a good. You might get more than you bargained for.
Oh dear. Janet, thank you very much. Good morning. Good morning, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, good morning, Benny.
Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, you're not allowed to take water on the plane. If you have any water in a water bottle, you have to empty it before you're allowed on the plane. There's absolutely zero tolerance.
They make you dump it before you go through security, but is that that's to do with liquid allowance, etc.? You can buy it afterwards in the shop.
Yes, I know, but they not have zero tolerance. Maybe that's an extreme view. Zero tolerance for people getting on the plane, no drink. Can people not sort of sit for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours without a drink on the without alcohol on the plane?
So how would you police that, Frank? Would you?
Yes, I know. Yes, it would be very difficult to police. I know.
You could breathalyze them.
Well, I suppose that's an extreme point of view.
So what would you? Would you make them walk a line or just recite the alphabet backwards?
I'm not sure what to do. I was just making this unit. I find if I have any water in a water bottle, I have to empty it before I'm allowed on the plane.
Oh, yes. Yes, but that's a security issue. When you're going through security, they make you take all your liquids.
You can take a drink out of the bottle in front of the security man and still there's zero tolerance.
Yes.
Prove to him that it is water.
Yes. Okay, Frank. Thank you. Norman, good morning. Norman, how are you? I haven't been talking to you in a couple of days and I was getting withdrawal symptoms.
Welcome to Boozy Britain this morning.
do you drink at all, Norman?
No, I used to drink, so I did. But I know people of the family who have went to Spain and don't even remember getting on the plane or getting off it. That's where the problem lies. There's nothing wrong with having a social drink, Vinny, before you get on a plane. I'm not against that. But if somebody comes up to the barrier when they're starting to board the plane and they seem drunk, turn them away. And when they get on the plane, don't serve any alcohol whatsoever on the planes. That's where the problem lies, because they're getting drunk before they go on. And then they're drinking more alcohol when they get on the plane.
But Norman, people look forward to their holidays all year. For a lot of people, if they get one holiday a year, that's it. They save up for it. They look forward to it. The day comes. It's exciting. They want to have a couple of drinks to start the enjoyment, start the partying before they even get on the flight.
There's nothing wrong with having a social drink, Vinny. It's binge drinking. And you have to think of the passengers on the plane. We've seen planes getting diverted back to airports. Now, what happens if one is drunk and opens the door of one of them planes? It's an absolute disaster. Is that where we're going to wait until a disaster happens?
Well, this is it, Norman. And I guess with alcohol as well, we've said it already this morning, once you've had a drink, it can take a while to get into your system. So you could have a drink before you even get to the airport or in the airport, and it doesn't really hit you until you're in the air. And then, like you say, it could be too late. You might have to divert the plane if somebody does.
So,
well, there you go.
The one option is to stop serving alcohol on the planes.
That is an option. It is. Norman, thank you very much. Stephen's back next week, so make sure you ring in next week. He'll be missing you as well.
Oh, I'll be getting the hassle, Benny.
All right, Norman, thank you.
You're doing a good job, Benny.
Thanks, Norman. We'll take another call on this. Christine, good morning.
Last year, four girls, myself and three girls, went to Tenerife. We had two in one aisle, two in the Isle of Cross, and the trolley was in the middle. So I ordered a vodka and Diet Coke, and my friend at the other side ordered vodka and Diet Coke. It came to £10.50, and the air hostess says to us, do you know if you had a thought, and she had a litre bottle sitting on the trolley, she says you could have bought that litre bottle of vodka for €10.
And would she have sold you that on the flight?
Yes, we asked her.
No, she would not. A bottle of vodka.
We asked her, we says, what, can you sell it? And she says, yes.
But could you drink it? Are you allowed to drink
no.
it?
I don't know. Well, I mean, if she was going to sell us it, you must have been. I mean, when she said, you know, you could have had that bottle instead of the two drinks.
Well, I'm not sure if they would have let you. I know if some airports, or a lot of airports I've been to, if you buy duty-free, they don't let you crack it open in the airport or on the flight.
I know that, yeah, because I was on a flight one time and these boys cracked the bottle open and they came down and took it off them.
There you go. How was Tenerife? Was it good, Christine?
Yeah, fantastic.
Are you heading off this year?
No, Portugal next year.
Very nice. You take me with
Pushing
you?
No, five girls.
All right.
Where is Stephen?
I have no idea where that man is. That's a dangerous question.
New York skiing.
Will we try? What did you say? Is he skiing?
No, New York.
No. I don't know where he is. He's probably off gallivanting. He does,
yeah.
Christine.
We'll
try and ring him and maybe get him on later on, but he's probably still in his pit.
But don't let him think we're missing him.
Well, don't see you ask about him. That makes him think that you're missing him. I think you are a little bit, Christine.
It's good for the banter.
Christine, thank you. Have fun in Portugal next year. Bye bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, we'll take two more on this and then we'll do the news. David, good morning.
Denny, how you doing?
All right, David.
Come here, I'm just saying, I was just listening to one of your guys on there. How do you really justify someone has had too much alcohol? It's impossible. I think everyone knows it's a right after the age of 18 for anybody to take a drink. If I take a few drinks in the airport before I leave to go on my holiday next week, and how is anyone going to tell me you've had too much to drink? What's their method of doing that?
Well, that's one of the issues we were talking about with Finola and with Adrian. Yeah, there are different options. You could just if someone looks like they've had too much to drink, you could try and breathalyze people. You could just put restriction. I'm not sure how this would work, but for example, you're only allowed to buy a certain amount in the pubs.
Yeah, well, I've traveled over to America quite a few times. On your long haul flights, you get free drinks the whole way, the whole journey. You get your free drinks, alcoholic, non-alcoholic. You get your beers, your wines, your spirits.
But that's all worked in with your ticket, so you kind of have paid for that already.
Yeah, and you've never got an issue with that. I've never ever seen an issue in a long haul flight ever. But whatever it is about, like, I went to Malta there a couple of years ago. And there was an AA convention. We all know what the AA means. And they were having their yearly convention. And it was in Malta. And on the way home, on the way over, there was no problem. But on the way back, it was a different story. We were waiting in the airport, waiting to get our flight. And people were going into the duty-free. They were buying a bottle of whatever, bottle of their choice, maybe 15, 16 euro for a bottle. Going in, cracking it open in the toilet, wherever. And then they were getting on the flight. I'll tell you the truth, there was no problem with them at all. They were probably as civil and as everyone else. There was no problem with them at all.
Okay.
And I seen it with my own two eyes, and it looked horrendous because they were drinking it straight from the bottle. And that's something that I had never seen in my lifetime. It was something I never want to see again. Haven't seen it since. To drink a spirit from a bottle is is terrible, but obviously these guys suffer, and that's what they do on a day to day basis.
Okay, David, it's a complex issue, alcohol, and the problems that can come. That can come with it. So it's one of those things that I'm sure we'll come back to you on the programme in the near future. We'll do one more on this and then we'll take the news. Mervyn, good morning.
How are you, Finn? Are you keeping well?
I'm keeping all right. Like I say, the thought of Stephen coming back on Monday is giving us all the shivers, but, you know, can't be helped.
Say nothing, son, about it. Just let it happen. Go over your head.
Go ahead, Mervyn.
I flew out to Pisa from Dublin, would have been 4 or 5 months ago. Everything was all right. 4 or 5 guys got on. Quite obviously, they were drunk. Now the word says the next minute turned round and this 3 or 4 women get on, girls and waves and this, and 4 or 5 kids. And you see the 2.5 hours on that flight, don't I? It was a living hell, and that is the truth. They weren't violent by any means. They weren't. It's just they were up and down. The kids were everywhere, but the seats. There was people at the back complaining, and people were actually scared to complain, because these guys were rough-looking men. You know what I mean? They would have took anybody on. But my point about it is, I think the day is coming, Vinny, when people will be given the choice. It's an adult-only flight and an alcohol-free flight. And I'm no prude. I've enjoyed a drink all my days. But at the end of the day, it's just too much. And they're going to say, oh, what about the airlines have to make a profit? That's very true, and that's acceptable. But I would pay more. I would pay more to make sure that kids are not on the flight, and also it's an alcohol-free one.
So you want an alcohol and a child-free flight?
Yes.
Is that really going to happen, though? Is that realistic, Mervyn?
I don't know if it's realistic or not. It's my opinion, and I feel strongly about it. This was discussed in Radio 4 only a few weeks ago, and people were saying exactly what I'm saying to you. Now, they're willing to pay. If they're going to get on the flight knowing there's no kids on board yelling and screaming and crying and there's nothing you can do about it, your heart goes out to the mothers and the fathers. We all understand that, but I don't want to listen to it anymore, Vinny.
You don't want to have the earache when you're on your holidays.
Exactly. I just don't want to do it.
Okay.
And I would pay more for the flight ticket, sorry, for the ticket to get on board in a no-children flight and also an alcohol-free flight.
Okay.
Yeah, flight.